Hi there, backstage. Welcome to Spill It with CB, and this is my third, yes, the third edition, and my guest today is Celtic in My Bones.
Hello.
Hi, so glad you're here.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm very excited about asking you some questions.
Sure, we'll give it a whirl.
Good. Oh my goodness, I lost the questions again already. I've already admitted to being technologically challenged, so. Celtic Bones for short. On a scale of 1 to 10, how similar are you to your GWA persona?
I would say probably a 7 to 8. So very mostly similar, but there's a little extra of kind of je ne sais quoi been added in there.
Okay, that's good. Are you the same in your in the things that you record as you are with the comments and things that you leave?
What I choose to record, I usually would pick something that kind of suits me. So I'm pretty new in this. I've been only added a couple of months, so I'm pretty new in that sense. So I don't really take requests of just completely out of the blue. Can you record this or put myself in this scenario and then just do it like a professional or something like that. But I tend to curate and pick and choose what I think would suit me. So
Okay.
in that way, it's broadly similar to how I am in real life.
Okay, that makes sense.
Same with the comments. The comments is pretty much my normal reaction to anything. I am not necessarily putting on any persona in the comments.
Okay. What is the story behind your username?
Not much thought was put into it. I'm Irish, I'm Celtic, and so Celtic is in my bones, and there was a very slight double innuendo in there where bones, erection, that kind of thing. So I decided to put a slight risque edge to it, but that was pretty much the thought process. It literally took me about 2 or 3 minutes to come up with it, so.
Is this your only Reddit name?
It is not.
Okay.
This is my more risque
Always is.
Reddit name.
How many languages do you speak?
Well, one. Languages that have been taught in school, three, including English. So English, Irish, and French.
Oh, so say something sexy for us.
In which language?
All of them.
Oh, well, you've really put me on the spot now. No, I honestly can't think of anything. I wish I would be able to speak Irish a lot better than I can. And the last time I spoke it with any regularity was when I was 19, because that was for school. So third level institution, I went and did a biology course. So obviously Irish wasn't required for that. So I've become incredibly rusty with Irish. Irish is.
Well, is there anything that you know that you could say for us? Maybe even not sexy, just.
The characteristic one would be poke my hone, which means kiss my ass. It's a frequent one that we any new person that comes into Dublin, we'd say, particularly a guy, and he wants to impress the Irish girls, and say, "Oh, teach me something in Irish to say to the Irish girls." And we say, "Oh, go up to an Irish girl and say poke my hone." And then we'll just sit back, enjoy our drinks while a massive slap happens.
That's so mean. And what do you remember in French?
And French. Again, Again, it was in when I was learning French when I was in school, so they don't necessarily teach you anything risque. No, I can't think of anything. It's a lot of my French is purely innocent and
Okay.
walking into a cafe, walking into a bakery, that kind of thing.
Okay, so say something just in a sexy way. Because I love French.
Trying to think. Je parle un très petit peu français.
And what was that?
I speak a very little bit of French.
It did sound sexy though.
Merci.
Who is your celebrity lookalike?
I have been historically coming with my friends and a couple of cousins also kind of jokingly, particularly when I'm clean shaven and I cut my hair in a particular way, I'm told that I look from like Tom Cruise from Top Gun.
Oh, yeah, I
And
can see that.
I have dressed up as him once or twice for Halloween with the aviators and everything.
That's perfect.
And completely unrelated, and I'm not a major soccer fan, so when somebody, a random person in work told me this, I had no idea who the guy was. But for the football fans out there, Messi, I've been told that he looks like Messi. Who's
I
who?
don't know who
Yeah,
that is.
I
How do you
get
spell that?
I was 100% ignorant until I did a bit of research. I think he plays for Barcelona, so
How do you spell that?
Messi, I believe. And excuse me while I do a quick Google here in the background.
It is Lionel Messi.
Yes, plays for Barcelona. I was right. He's from Argentina.
Yep, is your hair that dark? And as dark as Tom Cruise's? Doesn't look like it in your picture.
No, I have kind of light brown hair, I would say. A lot of the photos I take are in a weird light, so they can does seem like I have red in tinges to my hair, but no, I do have light brown hair.
Yeah, that's probably just me making assumptions.
Because I'm Irish, I
Yes.
had to have ginger hair, though.
Well, you know, people think I'm Irish
Really?
all the time. They ask me because of the freckles.
Oh, I actually had freckles up until early on my face. I still have it all over my arms, but on my face, up on the cheeks, up until I suppose 11 or 12.
Ugh, not fair. I hated them growing up. I hated
I
them,
know,
and
I
then,
no longer have them.
and that I don't understand that. Mine never went away. I
Mine just
get,
seemed to fade out, and I'm glad they did.
I get more all the time. Every time I'm in the sun.
Oh, but you should see my arms, seriously.
Oh, me too. I've got them on my arms. Yeah, they're all over my arms. We'll have a contest someday.
Yes.
Show me your arms. Who knows your secrets?
I would say only a select few of close friends would know the majority of my secrets. So close circle of friends.
Can you share any of them with us?
I wouldn't say it's an particularly intimate secret, but I have a total of five scars.
Ooh. Okay. That's interesting. Are you a risk taker?
No, not at all. Most are from my childhood. Most are
Okay.
from when I was a toddler and falling over.
That's actually a good question. Do you have any scars?
Yeah.
How did you get them? I might have to add that. What bad habits do you have?
Bad habits. I probably would. I'm a bit of an introvert, so I would probably be. Just like today, I pretty much in my own little cocoon just stayed in front of my PC and ordered in food and that kind of thing. So that would probably be a bad habit of sometimes I have to force myself to go out and socialize. But it's not something that I would do frequently, but it's something that I would do occasionally, and I would have to remind myself saying, there is a world out there, you know. But I can other weekends I can be quite good as well. I could be hardly ever in the house and I'd be out having coffee with friends or going out drinking in the pub with friends or so on.
Good for you. I'm a bit of an introvert myself. Tell us the story of losing your virginity.
Oh. Well, that one is something that I'm not particularly. It's not particularly interesting story. It was just kind of one of those things where it's happened. It kind of happened, and wasn't necessarily like in a long-term relationship of building it up all romantic, candles lit, like petals all across the bed. That could no. Rarely losing your virginity is anything like that. So yeah, it was more of a one-night stand affair. So it was kind of a wham bam thank you ma'am.
Well, interesting. Did you know her?
I didn't.
Oh.
I was no is kind of a weird way of putting it. It was kind of a friend of a friend of kind of that I met spontaneously that night at a party kind of thing, and then never met her again. And I was like, but I it was just one of those spontaneous things. I didn't necessarily have feelings for her. It was just, hey, we're kind of in this m mindset, want to do it, and we did it, and then that kind of thing. So.
Did she pursue you?
No.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Oh, meaning afterwards or at.
That night.
Oh, I can't remember. It was that long ago.
I'm guessing there was beer involved or alcohol.
Yes, very much so. It wasn't in my teenage years. I was in my early 20s when I lost my virginity.
Okay.
So,
It was almost
it
20.
wasn't underage drinking, just so you know.
Okay, good.
Which is actually different in Ireland than the States, because legal drinking limit is 18 over here.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. How frequently do you have sex with someone else?
Right now, or if
Yeah.
not a lot. I'm in the bit of a in between stage of hardly any sex, but
Okay. Then how often do you have sex with yourself?
I would say once a day or once every other day, kind of
Wow.
typical.
Yeah. Is that typical for a guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez.
Why you say that's low or high?
No. I don't have time for all that every single day. Even if I want to. Maybe it's easier just for a guy in the shower or something.
But oh, trust me, it's the longest I ever would want to go without masturbating would be a week. The longest I ever did it was a month, and that was just torturous. It was just to see how long I lasted, to test my own will to see if I'd be up for the challenge. I did it once, and like, okay, I succeeded in my challenge, never again.
Well, if you are up for another challenge, I have an edging thing
no.
that I've done.
Oh, I'm regretting it now.
Wasn't a whole month.
Okay.
I'll send you the link.
All right.
You might like it.
All right.
Just 5 minutes a day.
May or may not like it. I'll reserve
5 minutes a day is all I ask.
I'll reserve judgment till I see it.
Okay, that sounds good. Oh, I'm excited. I hope you do it. What would you choose as your death row meal?
Ooh, that, I was not expecting that.
The death row thing throw you off because it does throw off the Europeans. Typically.
This probably the phrasing is something that, not necessarily the concept, but the phrasing, because that would put connotations of you're in jail and you deserve to be there. Probably last meal on earth would probably be a more neutral way of asking the same question.
Or what is your favorite meal? Is really what it means.
Yes. Yeah. It's an oddly phrased question for Europeans, but yeah. I would have to say steak. A well-done steak. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be necessarily garnished with anything. In my mind, steak done well does not need anything added extra onto it.
I agree. How do you like it cooked?
Medium well. Medium rare, sorry.
Oh, me too.
I don't know why I said
me too.
Medium rare. Medium well. So, need more coffee.
It's late for you, I know.
Yes.
I'm sorry. what is your favorite scent?
I wouldn't be able to narrow it down to just one. And I wouldn't necessarily describe them as my favorites, but the distinctive smells that I like would be the likes of freshly cooked grass or bacon frying.
Bacon? I love bacon.
Yeah, we call them rashers over here. There's and there's actually distinction between bacon and rashers. Bacon are the long strips, whereas rashers are the more medallions. Do you get the more medallion like?
Well,
quote unquote, over.
I think for us, that is Canadian bacon.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm looking at a picture, and it's got a round section, and then there's a little strip at the end.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. What is that? Is that whole thing?
A rasher.
Bacon? That's a rasher.
Yeah.
So do you separate those pieces and then they're called different things?
No. The entire thing is called a rasher, and when you for breakfast, that is what you'd be served. That slice coat.
Mm-hmm. So for us, bacon is this long strip.
Yeah.
Like twice as long and really fatty.
Mm.
Delicious.
We historically would have only gotten rashers, but I do want to know what bacon is also.
Mm-hmm. Bacon is so good.
But we would distinguish between the two with the two names. So rashers are strictly reserved to what you just looked up on.
Mm-hmm. Can you get bacon?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
It's more of a North American concept, but we can still get it.
Yeah. Okay. It's delicious. Believe me.
So rashers.
Yes, I know. You said fresh cut grass.
Mm. It's a distinct smell. I caveated with it. I don't necessarily have a favorite smell, but those were distinct smells that I enjoy. So
okay.
rashers, I still have bacon on the brain. Freshly cut grass is a very distinctive smell, and it's kind of reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah.
Summer. It's very summer childhood smell.
Do you ever think it sometimes smells like watermelon?
No, we don't really get watermelons over here.
Oh, you don't?
I'm sure we can now because we're like a first world Western country, then we can theoretically get anything, but historically, no. They're not native to this part of the world, so.
Have you had watermelon?
I don't think I have.
Oh,
that's
delicious.
I've had regular melon, or some, the yellow one that's sometimes called honey melon, I think.
Honeydew melon yeah. is green. It's pretty, it's light green.
Yes.
Cantaloupe is orangish. That's what we have. I guess there's some other melons too, but those are.
I think I'm thinking of honeydew melon, but it in the possibly it ripens to a yellow color.
Inside's always green.
Oh, then I'm definitely not thinking of that.
There are some yellow watermelons, but cantaloupe is orangey. It's not yellow, it's orange.
I could possibly be thinking of that. I'm not a major fan to myself. My taste, the taste was entirely too subtle, and it was mainly just a water taste with a hint of an... So I'm not a major fan of subtle flavors.
They are pretty bland.
Yeah.
Do you like berries?
Yes, particularly in jams. So strawberry, blackcurrant, blackberry. I alternate between blackcurrant and blackberry as my favorite jams.
I like blackcurrant too.
Yes, blackcurrant. So good. Reminds me so much of my childhood as well.
Yeah, really. Mm.
We get down where I used to spend my summers. My parents are currently down there at the moment. They've a holiday home down there. There'll always be wild blackberries growing on the lane leading to town. So
that's so much fun to pick them. And
yeah, my mom used to make her own tarts with the wild blackberries and some apples.
Yum. Mm. That sounds delicious.
It was.
So is that how you'll finish up your death row meal? Your mom's blackberry and apple tarts?
Yes, yes.
Mm. I approve.
Americans are quite famous for their pies, the whole variety of pies. So,
is that right?
Well, that's perception anyway.
Okay. I don't really like pie. Okay. Do you wear to bed on a regular night?
What do I wear? I don't really wear any kind of t-shirt or anything, so it's usually the boxers that I've worn that day, and then take them off and put them in the laundry the next morning for a fresh pair, or like tracksuit and pajama bottoms for during the winter.
Okay, so on a sexy time night, what would you wear?
More or less the same, because I'm just wearing boxers. So it's either boxers or me fully nude. So there's not much left to the imagination if I'm just wearing boxers.
Okay. Do you read in bed?
I don't, but sometimes I would fall asleep listening to a music or a podcast or something.
Interesting.
I'm a frequent podcaster, listener, particularly on commutes to and from work.
Okay. Do you have a favorite podcast that you listen to?
Yeah. There's one called Caustic Soda. That is from Vancouver, Canada. I discovered it when I lived there for a year. And one of my friends that I know from there, he's one of the hosts on it. There's three hosts.
Oh.
And what it is think of going through science and history and interesting facts, but in an adult way. So if there's gross aspects of the historical character, that they would consider that particularly caustic, and they would kind of zoom in on that. So they go after kind of emperors who kind of massacred all around them, and then they, and but they don't do it in a serious way. Like they'd be joking, and they'd be, so it's, if it's not somebody who takes it's not for people who take things too seriously. So I would highly recommend it if you want to find out some interesting facts while being entertained at the same time, but with the caveat of they do not take themselves seriously, and you shouldn't expect to take it seriously either. So there's a lot of jokes, so it's not PC friendly, let's just put it that way.
Okay. But it says
highly,
caustic soda.
Highly recommended.
It says Caustic Soda is a weekly podcast about the science, history, and pop culture of the weird, gross, and disturbing. I'm excited.
They summarized it better than I did.
I'm excited. I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No problem.
You don't read in bed, but who is your favorite author?
The author that I've read the most is probably Terry Pratchett with the Discworld series. Also a massive fan of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, both the movies and the books. Haven't expanded out into any of J.R.R. Tolkien's other books around that old mythos, because he's written a couple of books that are outside. They're just about the general world that he's created. I haven't really read those, but Lord of the Rings, it's a classic, but it's a classic for a reason.
Yeah, I need to read that. I've never read it. I haven't.
One thing I will say is it's a slow burner, and the first two or three chapters literally almost bored me to tears. But once you get over that hurdle, then it's page turner, because you get into battles and you get into exciting things. So
okay, that's on my list.
It's going to be quite a long list by the end of this recording.
Yes, it is. Tell us about your most recent sexual encounter.
It was probably a couple of years ago at this stage. Again, it was something spontaneous. I haven't really had a relationship in a while, so it was more of a kind of a spontaneous thing that happened. So I've been out of the dating scene for a while.
Well, I'm guessing that your very most recent one was by yourself.
Yes. Yeah, again, I keep reading into sexual encounter meaning with somebody else. But yes, my most recent sexual encounter was with myself.
Okay. So tell us about it.
Not much to tell. It was me having happy fun time by myself.
Were you in bed or on the sofa, in the shower?
It was actually
sitting there at your computer desk.
It was sitting here at my computer desk.
Were you watching something or listening to something?
I was inspired by a GWA poster. I will not reveal their name, but okay. I was inspired by a member of the GWA community.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah, it's
keeping it in family.
Without the incest connotations, yes.
Right. Keeping it in the community.
Keeping it in the community.
Okay. What one word best describes you inside the bedroom?
I would probably say giving. I'm not very selfish. If I would feel bad if I got my rocks off and my lady partner did not. So
that's very sweet.
Yes, so there has been occasions where she say, "No, it's fine. It wasn't something you did," and I would still feel bad.
So, how about outside the bedroom? What's one word to describe you?
I would probably like to think that my best trait is my sense of humor, so I would say humorous.
Yeah. That's awesome. Humor is one of the things that I am most attracted to. My gosh.
But yeah, humor can be overdone as well. It can be as a really probably the reason why Chandler and Friends was that whole character, because he was using humor as an escape mechanism as well. But other times he was legitimately funny, but in other times he was just inserting humor into every orifice and every pregnant pause. He would just crack a joke. I try to resist doing that, but there has been occasions where I felt that, oh, there's an awkward pause, I might as well make a joke, and then it would fall flat.
I agree. Sometimes it can be a little bit much.
Yeah.
It's exhausting too. For me to be in a conversation with someone who just doesn't ever slow down.
Yeah, that's something that I don't often do, but and when, sometimes when in a particular mood it would happen, but I do. Sometimes I am in a chill mood as well, and you'd barely get a word out of me. So it's nice to find the healthy balance in between.
Exactly. Do you have any tattoos or piercings?
I do not.
Neither.
No. Not that I'm particularly opposed to them and other people or enjoy the aesthetics of them. It's just they're not for me. I find, while I appreciate the artwork of tattoos, I find them a little too permanent. So in my, I would rather wear that design on a t-shirt, because then I could wear that t-shirt as and when I like it, and sometimes I'll not wear it for a couple of months because I'm not particularly feeling that design or whatever, and then I realize that 2 or 3 months later, oh, remember that old t-shirt that had that design? Yeah, I'll start wearing that again. Whereas if it was on your body and you were seeing it every day, whether it was in a particularly visual place, like on your arm or something, or in a part where, like on your chest or on your back or something, that you wouldn't necessarily see often every day, but still, as you're dressing or getting undressed, you'd still see it. So you would see it on a daily basis. That's my philosophy on tattoos. I find them a little too permanent for me, but I'd certainly appreciate the art in tattoos.
Okay, great answer. Have you ever come without touching your penis?
I'm assuming we're discounting the using like coming in a partner or whatever. So by myself, do you mean?
Well, maybe, maybe not.
Well, by myself, no, I haven't. But if somebody else has touched my penis, then technically that's not me touching my penis.
Hands-free or
No, as I said, by myself, no, I haven't.
through maybe a prostate orgasm.
No. By myself, I've always touched my penis to achieve an orgasm.
Do you like those hands-free orgasm audios?
I haven't listened to any of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't listen to them either. I can't imagine.
Each their own. I don't necessarily listen to. I'm not. It ha kind of has. It's an awkward word to use, but I'm not necessarily a lurker on GWA, where I constantly browse the news section and to find out what new things are coming up. I'm more of an organic viewpoint of if somebody posts a comment on one of my audios, I might check out their profile and see what audios they've recorded, or through other means, whether PMs, or I'm also on TeamSpeak, so people who are on TeamSpeak, I might also see, ask them what their profile is, and if they share me a link to a profile, I'll look up their audios. But I wouldn't necessarily be a frequent browser of GWA just for the sake of it, just to find out new content.
Okay. So, have you ever listened to me?
I have.
Ah, okay.
And yes, I've quite enjoyed it.
Is that because I commented on one of yours?
Yeah, as I said, it's that's usually how I find out about other GWA members.
Okay.
Is
that's good to know.
Comments or PMs or...
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I'm not so much as a lurker as such. It's an awkward phrase, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
I do, because I'm on there all the time. I do. I'm a complete stalker, I admit. I listen to pretty much all of them. Well, and the part of the reason is, I know that it makes me sound like I don't do anything but lay in my bed all day long listening to audios, but I do listen to them as I'm commuting to and from work, and also sometimes at my desk. So I have a lot of time to fit those all in.
Yeah, I mean, not so much. As I said, I usually listen to podcasts when I'm commuting or...
Mm-hmm.
And in work, I can't really listen to things because I'm on the phone, so...
Right, right. Yeah, you don't have as much time as I do. What is your record for coming in 24 hours?
It's either 3 or 4, I can't remember.
Okay. Did you challenge yourself to that, or did it just happen?
No, it was a challenge. It was... There, let's just put it as there was got progressively harder to do, so it was a challenge to see how often I could do it in 24 hours. Again, with the like something similar to the month challenge.
Mm-hmm. I think you could do much better than 3.
I probably could.
You maybe have to try that again.
if and when I feel like it, yes.
Are you multi-orgasmic? Which for a man, I guess this question really is, do you have a quick recovery time?
Yeah, I was going to say define quick. I wouldn't probably say I have a quick recovery time, though. Within 24 hours, there's a scope of multiple orgasms, but if you're intimate with a partner, it's like, yeah, could you come back in 20 minutes? They're probably going to say no.
Well, there's other things you could be doing in those 20 minutes.
Yeah, that is very true. Put it this way, I've not been in a situation where the partner has said, okay, you've come, but I'm not done yet. I'm going to keep going until you come again, that kind of thing. So,
okay.
So I haven't necessarily tested my recovery time.
I see.
To that extent.
And I think I'm going to make up another challenge for you.
So as I'm giving you podcasts and things to listen to and things to watch, you're giving me challenges, sexual challenges.
Yes, I'll come up with a list of sexual challenges.
Yeah, you're just going to have to PM me a list of sexual challenges.
I'll do it too.
Mm.
Okay. What is on your sexual bucket list?
Oh, God, I'm going to sound like a complete or utter noob. I haven't been that sexually adventurous to my detriment. So... most of the things that people say, okay, they're a little adventurous, but they're not that adventurous. Most of those I probably haven't done. So the whole thing of sex in the public place or sex in the backseat of a car or that kind of thing. It's something that I haven't tried, but I would be open to doing. Mm-hmm. Certainly being the whole tied up, blindfolded, that and none of those I've tried, and so I'd be interested in finding out. I'm of the viewpoint of I'll try anything once, and if I like it, I'll keep it on my list of those are things that I like. And if I don't like it, it's, at least I've tried it, and at least I haven't ruled it out just out of fear or something like that.
Right. I think that's great. That's a great attitude to have. And don't apologize for being a noob, because it's you've had the experience that you've had. Mm. There's no saying that you have to go out there and do all sorts of crazy, wacky stuff. You do what you're comfortable with that partner.
Mm. So no, there's no photos of me in a gimp outfit or anything. with ball gags and whips and no.
My whole sexual experience has changed significantly in the last couple of years, and I never even realized how vanilla my sex life was. And it's not that I wanted it to be that way. It's just the way it worked out and the partners that I had. And it was extremely satisfactory to me. I would have said I have a fabulous sex life.
Oh.
Wasn't missing anything. And yet I found so much more new stuff more recently. So no, don't apologize for that. I mean, don't feel bad that you haven't had those experiences. There's always time. Just finding the right person is the key, in my opinion, my unsolicited advice.
Yeah, that's something I've found as well. It totally and utterly depends on your comfort level and the partner as well.
Yes.
It would always feel weird if you find a partner and they're like, oh, come on, you haven't tried this, whatever. And then it's not really coming from a comfort level point of view. It's you're almost feeling like you're pressured into something. Whereas if it happens organically of you, oh, you've not tried that, then let me show you. That sounds,
yes.
That's a better approach of, oh, come on, really? You haven't tried that? It's good.
Exactly. Exactly. We are up to the very last question.
Oh,
well, no,
woo!
Not the very last. I have one more for you. Describe what an orgasm feels like to you.
I would say it's a moment of escapism, of free from distractions. You're totally in that moment. You're totally into be it by yourself with inspiration from the internets, or as awkwardly put as that is, or with a partner. It's you're locked into that moment, and obviously you're building up to something. You're building up to an orgasm, and then when it's when the release finally happens, it's particularly when you're there with a partner, we'll say an orgasm when you're there with a partner is a million times better than an orgasm by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're locked into that moment. You're not only are you being turned on by the sexual act itself, the mechanical act of in order to get yourself off, but you're getting turned on by your partner's body, you're getting turned on by the her intellect as well, and it's that whole mix happening as well. So it's by far, it's much better to get off with a partner.
That's very sweet. But what does it feel like?
It feels great.
It is difficult to explain.
Yes, it is.
But that's why it makes it such a great question.
It is. Well, I've tried to. So it, as I said, it's a moment of escapism. It's a moment of clarity. It's a moment of so it feels like a moment of bliss.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's a moment of bliss. I love it. And it's very true.
Yes.
One more question for you, mm-hmm. and then I will allow you to ask me a question.
Which you're totally unprepared for.
I know. It's a surprise. What's your biggest fear?
I would say... probably feeding into my insecurities here, but it's a fear of rejection, a fear of setting yourself up, be it like asking somebody out on a date, or when you're in that intimate moment of something happening and then the moment just being killed or something like that. So it's, I suppose it's giving away my insecurities, but I would say it's a fear of me messing something up.
Okay.
Or stumbling over something or being awkward.
Okay. Yeah, I have a bit of that too.
Yeah, maybe completely unfounded, but that's the whole thing of being with a partner, of they will provide reassurances or a good partner would provide reassurances of you're not messing up, you're not doing something. So they would provide reassurances that would dispel your insecurities. But mm-hmm. it's a fear that you'd find a partner that would just wouldn't reciprocate or would just kind of leave you isolated in that moment. So...
Well, I hope you never have that happen.
Trust me, it's happened.
Oh, that's awful.
Mm. But anyway.
Okay.
Let
me apologize for all women. On behalf of all women
that's
for doing
no
that
problem
too.
At all. It's part of life that some people you meet are complete and utter assholes. So.
This is true.
Yes. It can work both ways. And trust me, I know plenty of guys who are assholes to women, so...
Yeah, it definitely can. Some men, well, people are very selfish.
Hmm.
I think that's even worse. So now, would you like to ask me a question? It can be one of these questions or something else, which I may or may not answer.
Oh, the power. Wasn't the power of asking you a question, it was the power of you saying I may or may not answer. What would you say is your greatest turn on with a partner, with a potential partner, either in an intimate moment or if you spot them across a crowded room or a nightclub or something, what's the one thing that you gravitate towards and say, yeah, I want to latch onto that person because that...
Do you mean a stranger or someone that I'm with?
Yeah, I suppose I left that open to... I'll narrow it down to somebody that you're with. So you're dating a person, and what would be a trait that... would instantly say, oh, yeah, no, I want to find out more about this person, or I want to be with this person.
Humor, sense of humor. Sense of humor is one of the biggest, most important things to me.
So I'm sorted then.
Yes. Yes, if a man can make me laugh, he's 75% of the way there.
Well, that's good to hear, because that's most of my personality is my sense of humor.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty shy, and so it's very difficult for me to meet people. and I'm typically approached by people who are very outgoing, because that's who's going to talk to the shy girl. Another shy guy is not going to talk to a shy girl, right?
I can relate to that. I can totally relate to that. I've been in a situation where I've been out with female friends and they're more outgoing, and they would say they recognize that they haven't been on a date in a while, and they say, oh, it's just a simple matter of just walking to a bar and walking up to a stranger, and there you go, man meets woman, off you go. And in my head I'm thinking, it's never that simple. I'm like, in my head I'm completely, I was comfortable when it's just my own circle of friends, because that means I can forget about the whole rest of the bar. But you have just reminded me that there is the whole rest of the bar, so that has made me feel about this big.
so
you've made me feel completely and utterly intimidated, and they probably thought that they were making me feel empowered by just saying, this whole bar is nothing, you just walk up to anybody and ask them out. I'm thinking, no, there's loads of people here.
Right, exactly. And I tend to be described as a wallflower, because I'm not going to be in the middle of the fray, making a commotion and meeting people and things. So I'm waiting for someone to talk to me. And if that person can make me laugh, that's really a good thing.
But I've gotten better at meeting people in general, as in making new friends or introducing myself and sticking out my hand saying, hi, like, blah, 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 how are you? Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as soon as it changes over to, this girl is kind of cute, I might be interested in her. Oh, yeah, my mind changes completely, and I'm back to retreating into my shell and back to being intimidated and back to...
Oh.
So, yeah. If it was anybody, guy or girl, anybody that I'm not interested in, I have no problem, because it's purely a psychological thing, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know about meetup.com? It's not a dating website.
It's just for different events and things.
I'm one of the organizers in one of them, so I on a weekly basis to semi-weekly basis, there's events, so that is my comfort level. I've gotten used to that, of just going up to people saying, hi, you're new, hi, nice to meet you.
That's awesome.
But again, if in my head I'm thinking, this person I could date, then I would be reduced to a puddle of nerves.
Well, at least it gives you some practice.
Yes.
And it gives you something in common with those people who were there.
That is true.
To talk about.
That is very true. When you're a member of a meetup, there's always usually a common topic, which is what the meetup is about.
Right. How often do you do yours?
Once a week, except for every 3 weeks in a month. So one weekend in the month, we haven't had anything plugged into that gap just yet. So it's usually once a week, thereabouts.
Excuse me. That's awesome.
So it's usually, on the weekend, on a Saturday or Sunday or something.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really great. Did you get involved with that, hoping to meet someone?
A long time ago, yes. It was started up as a kind of a singles group, but then people came up to us and said, we enjoy the topic, we enjoy meeting people. What if we meet somebody either in the group or outside the group? Does that mean that we can't come along to these meetings anymore? So then we started, okay, it's not expressly a singles group, but we will host singles events. And then hold singles events kind of fizzled out. So now it's just, it's about the topic. So it's not necessarily a singles group. But yes, I when I wasn't an organizer, and I knew, because I didn't found the group, I have become an organizer since. When I first came into the group, it was a singles group. So yes, mm-hmm. I joined the group hoping that I'd meet people of our like-minded nature.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. That's really awesome. I hope it works for you someday.
Yeah, well, now it's more into the organizing side of it, so.
It's work.
I don't see it as work.
Oh, good. That's very good. Yeah, I used to do that. But
then there's the whole extra kind of thing of, should a new person be dating one of the organizers, or should one of the organizers be dating one of the people who attend, or that kind of thing? So there's that.
Of course, why not? Why not?
But yeah, as I said, I lived in Vancouver for a year, so that completely took me out of my shell, because I went over there by myself, and so that forced me to make new friends. Find my own feet, go out and introduce myself to people. So mm-hmm. that I don't. And plus, as I said, I talk on the phone for 8 hours a day. So casual chat with people, I do not. That's my comfort level. I've gotten used to that. I was the shy teenager, stereotypical shy teenager, but I've since grown out of that. Helped by my experience in Canada, as I said, I was forced to bring myself out of my shell, mm-hmm. but it's purely a psychological thing. Once the dating connotations come into my head, I'm right back to me, the inner teenager of myself still being an introvert. So I'll just have to get better at that.
Yes. I think you're doing a great job so far.
Yeah, as I said, chatting to people I don't mind. It's just chatting to a potential potential date. I'm completely and utterly intimidated.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you, Celtic Bones.
Thank you.
And we are at the very end of our questionnaire. It's been really fun talking to you for the last hour, more than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, can't believe that. Thank you so very much for joining me to spill it.
No problem at all.
Thanks, and bye, everybody.